Hey everybody, this is Lauren, and welcome to episode 52 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In today's episode, Katie and I interview Teresa Hazel. Teresa is a long-distance runner, and we're going to be talking to her about how exercise, specifically running, has helped her get through a traumatic experience. We hope that you find this inspiring and that her story and her message resonates with anyone that has lost someone close to them or is going through some sort of traumatic experience. All right, let's get to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Welcome, Teresa. We're excited to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's jump right into this. So we know you're a runner. Tell us a little bit about how you got into running and maybe just kind of your journey with fitness.
So I've always been active, walking, hiking, that kind of thing. I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina, and my parents were active too. We liked to get out and hike around. So in 2012, I finished my master's degree. I was early 40s, and my kids were pretty much grown. The boys were both out of high school. My daughter was in high school. Husband was golfing all the time, so I suddenly had all this free time on my hands, and I thought, well, I'll do a couch to 5K. I'll run a 5K in the fall. Then I'll find something else to do. And I just ended up getting hooked. I did that 5K, and I couldn't tell you how many more I've done. I've done 22 halves, two fulls, in just a little over 5 years.
Wow. So what about it really hooked you?
I just the way I feel when I run, the way I feel when I'm done running, and the people that I've met, the friends I've made running have been just amazing. You know, I have friends who run Boston, and I'm a back of the packer, but we still have that in common, and nobody ever makes me feel less than.
When you started running and you did the couch to 5K, did you instantly connect like with a running group? I know sometimes people find apps on their phones, or how did you meet people through running?
No, it wasn't until I'd been running for about a year and a half that I started connecting with running groups. I did a training for the mini through a local running store and started meeting people that way. And then I got into another training group for the Indy Women's Half. They had a specific training group. That's where I think I made most of my friends. And then I joined a couple of run clubs, and it just became my whole social life, too.
So 22 half marathons, that's pretty crazy in that short of period of time. Are you ever, like, not training for something? Or is it, like, one half marathon gets over and you're ready for the next one?
Pretty much that, yeah. I mean, a lot of them I just do for fun. I don't really race them, so it's not so much that I need to train for them anymore. Mm-hmm. The first few I did, obviously, but now I just keep that kind of base, and I can go run a half anytime I want. It's not going to be, you know, stellar fast, but I can run it, and I'm not going to be sore and feel awful afterwards because I've got that base.
That is awesome, but with running, it's so, like, once you stop, you kind of lose it. Like, I know for me, I tell myself, okay, if I can run 3 miles out of nowhere, then I feel like I'm still in good shape. But to be just in half marathon running shape, that's pretty awesome.
Okay, so you started running, and, you know, a couple years went by, right? And tell us what happened next.
In 2015, in April that year, it was actually 5 days after I finished my first marathon, I came home and found that my husband had died of a heart attack while I was at work. He had not felt well that day, and he'd stayed home from work and died in his sleep.
Wow.
It was very unexpected.
Yeah. Obviously, we're so sorry to hear that. I'm sure it's still hard to even talk about after.
Yeah, sometimes it really is.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talked to us originally about how you've used running to stay connected with people through the pain and through everything you've had to go through. How has running helped you?
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways. That first one that you mentioned, stay connected, I mean, it kept me from isolating myself, especially with grown kids. You know, it would be really easy to go to work, come home, go to bed, mm-hmm. because there's nobody really relying on me. Nobody cares if I get up on a Saturday. but my running friends do, and they're texting me and come out, come run with us, come meet us. And the great thing about it is, you know, we can just run. We don't have to talk. Mm-hmm. We can if we want to, but we don't have to. And nobody pushes me to talk, but they make sure I'm out there. That's probably the first way that it helped, especially initially at the beginning.
Were you naturally inclined to use running as a coping mechanism, or was it something that, because, you know, a lot of times when we go through grief, you almost want to just, like you said, kind of isolate yourself and get away from the things that you love to do. So was it a natural pull for you?
Yeah, I kind of thought I would just try, because it was a thing that Kevin didn't understand. I mean, he was supportive in his way, but he was not a runner, and he didn't get it. And so afterwards, you know, just you feel that survivor's guilt, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't go do something that makes me happy. I should stay home and be sad, because that's where I am. So about 2 weeks after he died, my parents had to go back to North Carolina, and I found myself home alone, and I thought, well, I'll just go run. I'll just go for a mile. I'll see how it feels. If it doesn't feel right, I'll come home. And so I ended up doing 2 miles, and it was kind of hot, and I didn't have any water. So I did turn around after 2 miles, but it was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't feel awful or guilty, and I was able to, you know, pray a little bit, talk to Kevin a little bit, and come home, and I realized my head felt a little bit clearer.
Yeah. It is amazing, though, with running that it is therapeutic. Other exercises, they do give you a part of that, but I think running specifically, it really clears your head, and it lets you kind of escape, but also work through stuff if you need to.
Yeah, it's that physically moving forward. Mm-hmm. It keeps you from getting, like, emotionally or mentally stuck, because you are moving forward, and you can kind of see that and feel that.
I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but, you know, they talk about the runner's high, but I think part of it is because you're kind of forced to be alone with your own thoughts, especially when you run alone, which can be good and bad, but, you know, like you said, therapy, you have to kind of face what's going on in your head. And I think of, like, when I was training for a marathon, some of those long runs are just so brutal, and you do have to push yourself, and to the point where you almost break down mentally, and, like, I've cried after a run, you know, or during a run.
Yeah.
Like, you just get so lost, and it sounds crazy, probably people who don't run, but have you ever, what's that been like for you?
You know, there's kind of both. There's those times when you're pushing yourself and you're making yourself go, but then there's times when it just feels like autopilot, mm-hmm. like I'm just going, and then my mind can wander, and it listens to the music or the podcast I'm listening to, and the focus goes away from whatever's jumbled up in my head, if it's the bills or the repairs on the house or whatever. That all goes away, and it's just this time for me. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost a paradox that it's refreshing to work out like that, but it is.
Yeah. You talked about, like, you didn't have guilt with running, which is good. But what got you to do that next race after Kevin's death?
Well, I was already signed up for it. So I wasn't going to waste the money. Yeah, because I'm the kind that signs up for the races way ahead of time when I get the early bird price. And so I actually, the first race I did was exactly a month after he died. It was the Indy Women's Trail Run. And I didn't really race it. I just ran it to run it. You know, and I definitely cried when I was out there, but it felt good. And trail runs, too, especially, you get to the point where you're alone on the trail, you don't see anybody else. And I was talking to him, and I was saying, hey, do you see now? Can you tell why I like this? To answer your earlier question, how I think it's helped me. It kind of forces me to take care of myself in other ways, because I know I have these runs scheduled, I have this training program to follow, so I have to eat right, I have to get enough sleep, I can't skip out on those things, because that's a thing that a lot of people tend to do. I see other widows in the community just living on coffee and Little Debbies, and this forces me to, like you're in your earlier podcast, think of food as fuel. This is the fuel I need, because these are the activities I have planned, and it takes the emotion out of it.
Yeah. What are things that you do, you know, because I'm sure, like all of us, you definitely have days where you just don't want to run. you want to eat Little Debbie's and drink coffee all day. So what are things that you do to talk yourself into it, or maybe are there days where you just say, forget it?
I build a couple rest days into my schedule, so I know I have that. I know I'm not going to run on Sunday. So if I really don't feel like it on Thursday, I can still go push out this 3 miles because I know I have Sunday to put my feet up and watch Star Trek and eat some popcorn.
I love that. I think that's a great tip. So often we think we have to push ourselves, but planning rest and kind of knowing, okay, I'll go today because I know rest is coming up. That's so important.
Yeah. Now that you've mentioned that you've done all these races and that you did a trail race, what's one of your favorite races that you've done?
Oh, gosh. There's so many. I did one in Georgia called the Helen Holiday Half. This was a trail race in the mountains of North Georgia.
Wow.
Beautiful. At that time, it was the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I think they've moved it. It's now in mid-December. But it was just gorgeous. It was very challenging, but it was a fun challenge.
And especially training in Indiana, where there's not as many hills as you'll find in the mountains.
Yeah, you can find a few hills around here. But, yeah, I always try to run a trail race when I go home just because I like it so much.
Where all have you traveled for races?
I traveled to Vegas last year. I did Rock and Roll Vegas, the full. That was fun. That was my first destination race other than, you know, going home to see my family. And I picked that one because Kevin and I always wanted to go there and never got our chance. So that was, it was really hard, but it was very cool. Mm-hmm. And I am in a couple of weeks going to Key West for the Southernmost Half.
Cool.
And I have never been there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And the destination races, I really just started after Kevin passed away because we didn't travel much, but we always talked about it. And so now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a way to honor him while still fulfilling out what you love to do. I love that.
Yeah.
Have you inspired anyone to start running because they've seen how beneficial it's been for you?
People tell me I inspire them all the time. But I don't know if I've inspired anybody to actually start running that didn't already. I've had people ask me, how do I love running if I don't already? But yeah. That's kind of a different thing.
What's typically your answer to that?
Well, I ask them why they want to. Because I think the key is not to make yourself do an activity that you don't love. It's to find the activity that you love so you'll stick with it. And then once you find that, then you can build other things in around it. Because what I hate is strength training. But because I know it makes me a better runner, after a couple of years of running, I started doing strength training. And now I've found a way to do it that I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of November Project, but they're pretty awesome. So I do that.
Yes, I have heard. I've never been to one of their workouts.
I've always wanted to go to their workouts, but they're at 6. It's kind of pushing it for me because it's at 6 a.m. and then I have to drive across town. But I do plan on it. Can you explain to our listeners what the November Project is? Because I know it's nationwide, right?
Yeah,
it is nationwide. Actually, I think they're in other countries as well, but definitely a lot of major cities across the U.S. So November Project started in November in Boston, 2011. It was a way to keep people active during winter months. And it's always free. That's one of the things, just free, fun fitness. And I started going in May. They're just amazing. I'm an evening runner. I am not a morning workout person. But I have, after the first time I went, I've had no trouble waking up and getting down there and go because I know I'm going to enjoy it. And there's hugs and high fives and encouragement. And you forget that you're doing burpees. Well, you don't forget. How can you forget a burpee? But you don't mind as much when you have people cheering you on like that.
I follow them on Instagram, and they look just like the most fun people. They're always – I saw once they had, like, cardboard cutouts of all these boy bands, and they're always just doing wild things that, like, not what they're doing, but they look so fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. Yeah, that's another thing that makes you know they're my tribe is – dressing up in costume, because I do that for races anyway. Tomorrow is lumberjack theme, so it'll be lumberjacks at November project tomorrow.
Where do they go when it's cold then?
Still outside. That's the whole point, is to keep people outside and active, and even in the winter.
Wow.
Yeah, we go year round.
Wow, that's awesome. And good for everyone getting their booties out there in, like, December, January.
What advice would you give someone on using fitness to deal with something hard in their life? Like, how would you explain someone to use that as a way to get through a struggle, whether they've been currently exercising or maybe they haven't at all?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would just tell them is it's not selfish to make time to take care of yourself. Especially when we're going through something, there's people in our lives that are going through it too, and so we always want to take care of everybody else. But like we said earlier, we know this if we've already been living an active lifestyle, you have more energy when you do that, when you work out, when you take care of yourself. And so it's not selfish to take 30 minutes to do that. And then I think another thing that I would say is that, especially if you are just starting this, keep a journal and note how you feel after you walk for 30 minutes or after you do a, you know, dance class or whatever it is that you pick, because the journal is going to help you remember, yeah, this did help. My head was clear. My mood felt a little better. I slept better that night. So on those days when you don't feel like getting out there, if you look back over and see what those benefits were that you're finding, even from the very beginning, that's going to help keep you motivated until it becomes a habit.
That's a great message for people going through loss or even like new moms. I feel like moms is a big one that struggle to, well, you know, especially if they work or, you know, if I'm away from my kids all day, you know, how can I spend, or just parents in general, you know, how can I spend another 30 minutes, an hour away from them when I only have this amount of time? That's hard.
It is hard. But I think it sets a good example for those kids too. If you're raising daughters, you want to raise your daughters to be the kind of people who are going to take care of themselves. You don't want your daughters putting themselves last. So if you show them that you take care of yourself, then they'll grow up to be girls who take care of themselves too.
Yeah. You don't want to burn yourself out. So
right.
Taking time away for yourself will help you to feel more energized and to be the best mom or the best whatever it is.
I love the tip on journaling too, because I read a study recently where people are more likely to stick with exercise when they reflect on the benefits after. So I've been trying to do this in my classes when I teach, remind them how good they feel in the cool down, you know, even though it was really hard, you know, oh, aren't you so relaxed? Aren't you so much less stressed? Don't you have so much more energy for the day? All those sort of benefits.
Yeah, it's easy to forget. What is your current fitness goal?
So next year in June, I will turn 50. So next year in March, I'm running my first 50K.
Wow.
That gave me goosebumps. That's awesome.
Hashtag 50K before 50, if you follow me on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's going to be all my training.
Where's it going to be at?
It's in Alcoa, Tennessee. It's the Pistol Ultra. So it's not in the hilly part of Tennessee. It's in the central part, so it's a fairly flat one. My sister has done this race before. She did. My sister's crazier than I am. She did the 100-mile. Oh. At this race.
Holy.
But she said I can do it. This is within my capabilities to train for here in central Indiana, because it's a 10-mile loop and it's fairly flat and it's a wide walking trail, not a narrow technical trail.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But yeah, it's a 50K. It's only 5 more miles in a marathon, right?
Yeah, because you have 5 more miles in Indio when you finish a marathon. When are you going to really, like, start training for it?
The official training plan I have starts the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Ooh, okay. So,
right now, since my last half was October 21st, so since then I've just been running for fun with no watch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's no watch November. So I go out and I go to run club, or I go run a familiar route, so I know about how far I'm running, but I'm not tracking my pace. I'm not really logging anything, so I don't get burned out on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, training officially starts the Monday after Thanksgiving.
That's a great tip for runners, is to run, just run. Because I found myself when I raced in the past more consistently, yeah, getting burnout, like, oh my gosh, I can't even, because then you focus on the numbers and the miles and your pace. And
I usually do that after I finish a goal race. Like last year after Vegas, that's what I did. I went for a month without tracking anything, just ran for fun. So I thought I would do it this time before I start.
Wow. That is so exciting. I love that. Not only is it awesome that you're doing it before you turn 50, but it's something that you haven't done before.
Right.
And it's exciting because then after you do that, it's kind of like, okay, now what? And I feel like you always have to keep up in the bar, you know?
Oh, I hope not. I may just put that ultra sticker on my car and then be happy with that. Stick to halves.
Yeah.
Do it for the sticker, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
So, Teresa, if our listeners want to find you, where can they find you or connect with you if they have questions about running or anything that we've covered today?
On Instagram, it's at thazel411. And then Twitter, my name's all spelled out, so it's Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, Hazel, 411.
And then also, they should all follow that hashtag that you said, 50K before 50?
Yes. Okay. That's what I'll be using to post all my training.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was great and to hear your story, and we just love seeing fitness, you know, weaving through people's lives in different ways, and yeah, awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I'm enjoying your podcast too.
Awesome. Great to hear. Okay.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. We look forward to following your training.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.